Good to see everyone again this afternoon. For a short time this afternoon, we're going to be talking about, kind of going along with one of my more recent lessons in regards to knowledge and wisdom, the differences thereof, and having wisdom but not choosing to utilize it, and things of this nature. And really, it's a character study. And by saying that, I'm sure y'all may already know who we're going to be speaking about. For a short time this afternoon, we're going to be going and diving into the character study of Solomon. And of course, him being known as the man of wisdom. And we're going to kind of briefly talk about this. And I'm sure we've all heard about Solomon before. We all are aware of his example that he has given us. And he was very... had a lot of wisdom, and there are times where he chose to use it, and there were times where he chose not to. But for a brief while, we'll talk about that this afternoon. To begin, we'll begin with the meaning of the name. Now, in kind of the outline that I was able to find and the information that we have, Solomon means peace or peaceable. In Hebrew, the name would be Shlomo. And I hope I'm not butchering that enunciation. The 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 24 through 25, it also gives us another name, Jedidiah, meaning beloved of the Lord. And this name was given to the baby by Nathan as he received instructions from the Lord. And both names together in and of themselves have profound meaning. Now, in regards to Solomon's background, his family background, the scriptures tell us the children of David and Bathsheba. Now, those born in Hebron by different wives are given in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. And children by wives and concubines in Jerusalem are mentioned in 2 Samuel 5, verses 13 through 15. But for the sake of keeping the lesson at a decent time, we will not go through all of the verses. But Solomon was given to David by Bathsheba, by the Lord, after the death of the first child by Bathsheba. And the Lord told David that he would not build the temple, but that his son would build it. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 8 through 12. Also it mentions it in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 4 through 16. Now the Lord named Solomon and chose him to build the temple. So Solomon, the beloved of the Lord and the peaceable one, was born for God's purpose and work of building the temple. Now we mustn't forget that his parents were sinful people. Bathsheba had a reputation of sensuality, and David committed such acts as illicit acts, and then had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, murdered to try and cover up his wrongdoing. Solomon was definitely born into Adam's race, so we don't see him as perfect, nor should we ever consider ourselves to be perfect. As we study his character, and as we look at the life of Solomon, we will see his good and we will see his bad. Now, what the Old Testament says about Solomon is that Solomon became king of Israel in 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 33 through 39. King David declared Solomon to be his successor. David knew that the Lord had chosen Solomon to be one on the throne. In 1 Chronicles 22, verse 9, where it says, "Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days." Also, 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 5, where it says, "And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that it is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. We also read in 1 Kings chapter 1, 5 verses 9, where an older brother tried to seize the kingdom. It says, "Then Adoniah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, What hast thou done so? Or why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother buried him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab the son of Zeruiah and with Abiathar the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. But Zodok the priest and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Reah and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his people, all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. Then also we read in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, that the charge to King Solomon. As Solomon took the throne, David's instructions to his son are found in this particular scripture. Verses 1 through 9 of 1 Kings chapter 2, it says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show and true thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue in his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in the truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, thou knowest also that Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war and peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his forehead go down to the grave in peace. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother." "But show kindness," this is verse 7, "but show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat of thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei the son of Gera and Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day of when I went to Mahanaim. But they came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword." Verse 9, "Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his forehead bring thou down to the grave with blood." And then later on we read of Solomon's prayer for wisdom, found in 1 Kings chapter 3. In verse 5, the Lord said to Solomon, he said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon responded in verse 7, "I am but a little child." Actually, at this time, Solomon was about 20 years old. But he knew, or he was like a child in his new responsibility. And he knew he needed help. Moving on in verse 9, we find that his request of the Lord. In verse 9 of 1 Kings chapter 3, it says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, that thy so great a people?" God responded by giving him all he requested and more. I'd like to stop right here for a moment and just have us kind of consider that. Imagine you were put in a position that you knew was very new to you. Maybe you were in a situation that you had no knowledge or expertise or experiences to lean on, that you might have a better understanding of what to do. The people in the world today, there's a lot of people that are put in those positions pretty regularly, it seems. How many of us stop and ask for wisdom to be able to rightfully make decisions that would not only help us, but help everyone involved? It's always good to be able to look at Solomon's life and the example he gave and think he had it figured out. To be that wise, even as somebody, to be in a position to know that you need more wisdom. To be able to be knowledgeable enough of yourself, to know yourself well enough to know that you need help, but even to take that step one further and to be willing to ask for it. I think that's something that we can all learn from, and that if we're not doing that, we may want to start. I can tell you I've never been one to be confident enough, or I'd say prideful enough, or full of myself enough to ever think that I didn't need help with something. And through the examples that I've been given in my life, I have no problem asking for assistance with certain things, because I'm a person that knows I'm limited, and so when I am, I usually try to ask for help, and that's usually a good thing, because it's better to get it right with some help than to get it wrong without any. But moving on in 1 Kings, we'll read verses 12 and 13 of 1 Kings chapter 3. It says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all the days." But there is a condition the Lord puts on long life. In verse 14, the Bible says, "And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." So let's talk about the wisdom of Solomon. As we progress, if you turn to chapter 4, reading verses 29 through 30, it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt." You will find 917 Proverbs of Solomon's Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. And so just taking into account kind of what's transpired with Solomon's life right now, one thing that just kind of jumped out to me, I don't really know if it has any major significance or if it ties in any other examples, but it seems that him having a big heart and caring for others seems to be side by side with having wisdom. Once again, I don't know if there's any real huge amount of significance with that, or there's a lot of other examples in God's scriptures of having wisdom and then also having a large heart or a caring heart. But I would surmise by this that having wisdom or being wise, someone who is very wise, wouldn't help but having a big heart for others and taking in consideration other people. Just something to think about. So here we learn a little bit about the wisdom of Solomon. And in 1 Kings chapter 5, beginning with verse 6, Solomon actually begins to build the temple. It says that we know that Solomon knew he would have to build the temple of the Lord. This was to be the first house of the Lord. Before this, the tabernacle was a place where the people met the Lord. And now a permanent temple was to be built on the very place where David had brought the threshing floor of Onan. In 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, if we were to read 18 through 30, this was the first of the three temples of the history of Israel. The Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple, and then Herod's temple. Now in 1 Kings chapter 5 and 5, Solomon stated his purpose. Says, "And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name." In 1 Kings chapter 6 and 1, the date of the beginning of the temple was suggested to be 480 years after Israel came out of Egyptian bondage, or about 962 B.C. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38, it took 7 years to finish the building. And the month of Bull, which is suggested by some theologians to be October or November. Now, the pattern of the temple had been given to David by the Lord, and mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 19. And David gave the pattern to Solomon, 1 Chronicles 28, verses 11 through 12. Now, Solomon made a new brazen altar, candlesticks, tables, lavers, pots, and other articles, but he did not make a new Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, which was brought into the temple, was the same one which had been made on Mount Sinai. So who built this new temple? In 1 Kings chapter 8, 11, reading from the King James Version, it says, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Solomon recognized the cloud as a symbol of God's presence and favor. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 7 and 7, the porch is mentioned and was used as a judgment hall, if you will. The porch referred into the New Testament. Also in 1 Kings chapter 7 and 1, that Solomon took 13 years to build his own house. Now, Solomon's prayer of dedication after his message at the ceremony can be found in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 23 through 61. And then the second appearance of the Lord to Solomon is found in 1 Kings 9, 1 through 9, and 2 Chronicles 7, 12, and 22. Now the Lord appeared to Solomon at Gibeon in 1 Kings chapter 3 and 5 when he asked, ask what I shall give thee. At the second appearance, the Lord told Solomon that he had heard the answer, his prayer concerning the temple. Now the part of Solomon's petition concerning the continuation of the kingdom of Solomon was conditioned. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 9, 4 through 7, it says, and if thou wilt walk before me as David the father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel, but if he shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. Now this same event is also recorded in 2 Chronicles 7, verses 12 through 22. Moving on in 1 Kings chapter 10 and 1 Kings chapter 11, we begin to discover and we read about Solomon's sin against God. In chapter 10, Solomon is described as he appeared to men. In chapter 11, he is described as he appeared to God. Solomon attracted people from all parts of the world. Solomon began to fulfill God's will of blessing the nations through the nation of Israel. And when leaders from the surrounding countries heard of his great wisdom, they jumped on their camels and made the long trip to Jerusalem to see whether the reports could be trusted. Amongst them was the Queen of Sheba. It's mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 10, 1 through 13. Now, this visit is also recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. And we notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 8, that the Queen of Sheba gave Solomon some advice that he may have needed. It says, God delighted to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God, and because thy God loved Israel, made thee king to do judgment and justice. Now, the remainder of 1 Kings chapter 10 says, give some idea of Solomon's enormous wealth, or what he had. With all the peace, prosperity, and power, and Solomon became earthly rather than heavenly. The power and fortune led to Solomon's transgression against God. It says, notice the very first, in the very first verse of 1 Kings 11, it kind of leans on this. King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh and of women with the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. Now, verse 3 says he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. The wives Solomon took were not all Israelites. Many were from other nations, and they turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not sincere with the Lord his God. 4.5 centuries before, God had given the qualifications for the future king of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 through 17, it speaks about this. And Solomon disobeyed each of the four things forbidden a king. 1 Kings chapter 10 and 26, it mentions that he shall not multiply horses to himself. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 28 through 29, it talks about that he must not cause the people to return to Egypt. 1 Kings chapter 11 and 13, it says, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 14, 23 and 27, it talks about, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Solomon had disobeyed God in all of these areas. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 17, if you read verses 18 through 20, the Lord required that the king read the word and keep the words of the law. Solomon simply neglected the plain word of God. His heart was turned away from God by things. So what was the result of Solomon's sin? God does get angry about sin. Verse 9 tells us that, 1 Kings chapter 11 tells us that the Lord was angry with Solomon. And God told Solomon that the kingdom would be divided. When Solomon began trusting in his own wisdom and failed to stay focused on God, the Lord divided his kingdom and ripped it away. Jeroboam was to have 10 tribes. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was to have 2. The Lord never fails to keep his word. Though we may be imperfect, though we may say one thing and do another, or say we'll do something and then choose not to, God is a keeper of his promises. And he never fails to keep his word, whether it be mercy or whether it be judgment. There is no evidence in the scriptures that Solomon was sorry for all he had done against God's will. It doesn't really give a lot of information in that regard. There are no words of repentance, no tears of sorrow. And in his own writing, the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote of the vanities of life and closed the book with whole duty of man. In verses 9 through 14. And chapter 12, it says, nowhere do we read, I am sorry for my sin. So after the result of Solomon's sin, as he continued to live his life, we read about his death in 1 Kings chapter 11, 41 through 43. It says, Solomon died after a 40-year reign, not quite 60 years old. What the New Testament says about Solomon in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, it says, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was indeed a wise man, but Jesus is wisdom itself. In Colossians 2 and verse 3, it says, In whom are his all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? The Queen of Sheba came from afar to witness the wisdom of Solomon. While we have Christ among us and his word in our hands, we know that Christ Jesus is greater than Solomon. And the Bible tells us so. In John chapter 10, verse 23, it says that Jesus walked in the temple. Jesus walked in the temple on Solomon's porch. It says there Jesus walked where the Sanhedrin held their proceedings, and the porch was a place of judgment in Solomon's day, and Jesus was in the temple walking, meditating, teaching. In Acts chapter 5 and 12, it says the early church met on Solomon's porch. Peter preached there. Ananias and Sapphira died there. They were all of one accord in Solomon's porch, and they met in the open place of the temple. This teaches us that the early church met in public worship. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 29, it says, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Christ Jesus spoke of the Father's care for us and used lilies of the field as a comparison. In all his greatness, Solomon did not have the beauty of one of the lilies. So behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So what's a lesson that we can learn from Solomon? The Lord gives and takes away as he wills. He gave to Solomon the responsibility of building the temple. We also learn that all great Bible characters are born into Adam's race. And we are not expected to be perfect. Solomon was not perfect. Well, there are times where we may stumble. There are times where we may fall short. The difference is being able to recognize that and being able to correct that. If we fall short, get back up. Continue on. If we take a wrong path, turn around. No matter how many steps we may take away from God, it just takes one step to get back where we need to be. God grants wisdom if we ask. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. He gives it abundantly, he gives it graciously, when we ask." God gives us more than we expect to deserve. Solomon asked for wisdom. Solomon didn't ask for honor, praise, glory, or money. Solomon not only got what he asked for, but he got the honor and the wealth as well. God gives us more than we expect or deserve. There are many blessings that we request in prayer that he freely gives us. And as been said before, he gives us blessings and many things that we don't even know we even need. Solomon is a good example that riches and things do not make people happy. Luke chapter 12 verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And lastly, we can learn that the Lord judges all. All the great as well as all the small. It doesn't matter whether you feel that you are of significance. It doesn't matter whether you feel that you are low on the totem pole, whatever the case may be. The Lord will judge us all. Jesus is our advocate. He is our Savior who saves us from the judgment, not the consequences of sin. There are things that we may do in this life. Everything has a consequence. We may do something wrong and later on ask for forgiveness and be forgiven. That doesn't necessarily mean we won't still have to suffer consequences of those actions, no matter how sorry we are. Solomon, the man who would tell us, "Do as I say, not as I do." It's important for us to, I think, kind of get a refresher every once in a while of characters like this. Characters that were doing so good, but they just let things of the world and other influences get the better of them. I hope something that has been said has been beneficial to the congregation. I hope there's something that we can glean from this. At this time, we do want to offer an invitation to any of those who wish to receive step out on the promises of God, or for any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church. Whatever the case may be, please come forward now as we stand and sing.